Rob Fahl, thank you very much indeed for talking to the IFM Manufacturing Thursdays podcast series today. The title of your lecture is Roadmapping for Agile Strategy. Let's begin at the basics. What is roadmapping?
Roadmapping was a method originally developed by Motorola in the 1970s to help them with aligning their technology and product strategies. They were faced with increasing complexity and increasing rates of change. Since then, the method has been adapted and adopted widely across many sectors in different countries. The key feature of road mapping, though, is the visualization of strategy. So to bring together all of the complex aspects of strategy into one diagram that helps understand how it all fits together.
Can you do that? That's rather an ambitious sentence, isn't it? One diagram to show how it all fits together. Why is road mapping such an integral part of strategy?
Well, it is that challenge of simplifying very complex strategies that makes it very useful. The discipline and challenge of bringing all of the complex aspects together into one diagram is pretty challenging often, but also is where the benefit lies. Often a strategy document might be 20 or 30 pages long, and bringing that all together into one diagram allows people to understand how it all fits together, acting as a navigational aid to that complex information in the more detailed document.
So if you've got a navigational aid at many different sectors, how do you customize those strategies?
Well, the road mapping is very widely used, and that's because it is flexible. That flexibility is both its strength, in the sense that you can adapt it to suit your particular needs and organizational context, but also a challenge because it is a design job, really, to understand the purpose and how to flex the method in terms of the structure of the roadmap and also the process for developing it. So over many applications of road mapping in different sectors, we've identified really the generic structures of roadmaps, which tend to have two key dimensions on these diagrams. Firstly, the time dimension, so virtually all roadmaps have time as an explicit axis. And on the other dimension, a number of themes which need to be aligned and integrated for strategy to work. Most typically, that would include commercial aspects, the market trends and drivers, the product strategy, and then the technology and resource strategies. And it's then adapting those timeframes and themes to fit the particular structures in the organization, which makes the method so flexible.
And what you've outlined seems like a scientific strategy, yet you've mentioned peace in the Middle East.
Yes, that's an interesting stepping stone in the evolution of the method. As I mentioned, it was firstly developed in Motorola, and so that it spread really firstly in large technology-intensive organizations. And then the Department of Energy in the USA adopted the method, and I presume that's where the UN roadmap for peace in the Middle East had its origins, that somebody had heard this word roadmapping and applied it to that context. But the difference with that roadmap is it's not visual. It's a text-based document, I suppose, written by lawyers. And although very widely known, it's not a classic roadmap from our perspective. And it has resulted in some confusion because now if you look on the internet, you'll find many examples of things called roadmaps that aren't really related to the original approach from Motorola.
Well, in some ways, that's a success, I presume, because people like to use tools, analytical tools like that. Now, you refer to road mapping as a lens. Why is that? Is it because it allows you to focus in and look closely at what you're doing?
That's right. It also stimulated by the visual aspect of road mapping, I guess. But it does help individuals and, more importantly, groups of people within a company in different functions at different levels and also between companies, for instance, customers and suppliers, to have a common view of a complex problem or situation, and also one which has many uncertainties. Because it's strategy, we're making decisions about the future, and those a combination of complexity and uncertainty makes communication potentially problematic, and having this common view really is the key to enabling that communication.
And other words you mention are knowledge, information, and of course that might ultimately, if you're sensible, lead to wisdom.
Yes, I think there is a sort of a hierarchy from data to information, to knowledge and hopefully wisdom. We do tend to focus on workshop-based methods. Because of the communication strengths, we find that bringing these structures into workshops enables diverse groups of people to have very efficient discussions, to capture their views and make decisions and agree actions. And when you bring people together, I think you're working at the knowledge area where you're sharing different perspectives and experiences and achieving some common understanding.
And because of that, aid to bringing people together is always the yellow post-it sticker, and that features in one of your slides too.
Yes, the post-it's probably a bit overused, but it's quite a powerful mechanism for supporting communication. We provide all participants in these workshops with post-its, and it empowers them to summarize their own particular views, which we use the road mapping structures to capture. And then it tends to neutralize the discussion a bit, because instead of people arguing directly, they will have now an object around which they can have their discussions, the post-it notes on the roadmap structure, which allows them, I think, to have a more objective discussion and to identify where they agree and where they disagree and what they need to do in the future.
And also small group work is important, as is feedback and discussion of that work.
Yeah, the workshops range in group size. If we're running road mapping workshops for a whole company, often you might have 20 or 30 people in the room to represent all of the different perspectives. And so the workshop techniques have to work for both large groups, but also small groups. Large group activities tend to be somewhat mechanistic, and you have to balance them with very creative small group activities. So what we tend to do in two steps is firstly capture all of the perspectives in the room to help focus on key issues of common interest. And then we break out into smaller groups focusing specifically on those topics in a much more creative activity. And the road mapping structures provide the coherence throughout this process. Both the large group and small group activities are based on the same road mapping structures. So the group is developing a common visual language to help them with their communication.
Now, you mentioned the Google search. If you put in road mapping, coming up with all these peace or whatever political strategies. But can you, using this work, achieve consistency across all the sectors, or is it perhaps more suited to one particular sector than another?
Well, you can find evidence of road mapping in virtually every sector, and we've worked in most sectors over the years. What enables that is that there are some generic structures and principles behind road mapping, which apply universally, I believe. But you need to customize and adapt those to suit the very particular situation in an organization or sector and the particular challenges faced at that time. So in each case, although there are some generically similar concepts behind the method, the particular configuration will be different.
And there's some military terminology here, the explorer's sketch and the battle plan. Why do you need those?
Yes, well, one of my colleagues is, I think, enjoys the military analogies, but it is useful because, you know, the military have been involved in strategy for thousands of years, and some of the principles apply to companies as well, even if they're not in the defense sector. And the idea there basically is to distinguish roadmaps of this type from some of the assumptions people might make. For example, the first is that a roadmap is not like an ordnance survey map. It's not a very detailed map of every single aspect. It's more like an explorer's sketch map. So if you imagine the Portuguese explorers three centuries ago, the maps they had of the world weren't very accurate, but they served the purpose. They helped them sail around Africa. And the idea of the battle plan is really to emphasize the fact that the purpose of the map is not really to explore the future in great detail. The focus must be back on what do we do next. The purpose of planning and looking towards the future is to agree what to do next and then to update the map as you move forward and as you explore the terrain in which you find yourself in the future.
Well, I'm convinced, but finally, are roadmaps simple or are they complex? It seems to me that on one level you could think they're incredibly complex and another you might think, well, they're very intuitive.
Well, that is the art of road mapping, I think, is to find the simple truth in a complex problem. And that's the challenge everyone's facing. They're very complex business situations, and that they need to simplify to a point where they can find the key issues and to support this communication. So a roadmap represents a complex problem, but in a simple way. And that is the challenge and the ultimate benefit of road mapping.
So let's just read from that last sketch.
Yes, one of my favourite quotes, I think, which highlights the essence of this from Detmar, is, "It is a simple task to make things complex, but a complex task to make them simple."
Rob Fahl, thank you very much indeed for talking to the IFM Manufacturing Thursdays podcast series today. I've enjoyed it very much.
Thank you.